back to the Hip Hop Social Worker Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Scott. And I'm reconnecting with my guy Philip, Phil Roundtree out of Philly, you know what I'm saying, Philadelphia. Go ahead and say what's up to the people.
Oh, what's happening? What's happening, Chris? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm glad that we are, you know, we were able to reconnect. You know, we've been doing a lot of things since we recorded the first time on, you know, on, I can't remember whose podcast was first, but I know we did kind of like a back and forth thing where you came on mine, I went on yours.
Yeah.
That was dope, you know. But yeah, so I just want, you know, let's chop it up. Let's, you know, let's reconnect. Let's see what, you know, let's tell people what you've been doing since then. I think that was maybe a year ago.
Yeah, that was a minute ago, man. You know, we're in the quarantine. I don't even know if we still quarantining, man. I see everybody out and about. I was at a baby shower yesterday, mm-hmm. and I felt like I was the only one trying to keep their mask on. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just like, I think everybody then gave in. It was just like, it's going to be what it's going to be with this coronavirus. But just trying to keep my head above water, man. You know, these last, gosh, it's been what, since like April or so, late March, early April. So we talking about 4 months of a different way of life than any of us are used to, right? We talk about a new norm. And so like that isolation, especially when you like, entrepreneur, I know you being your entrepreneur bag, you know, which can be lonely at times, but it feels like it got even smaller and it got lonelier. Right. And so, you know, for many of us, our only connections might be on socials or, you know, messages here and there, just checking in on one another. But for me, I'm still running my business, Quartify LLC. So it's QuartifyLLC.net. With that, the speaking engagements I've been doing have slowed down, you know, because colleges and universities, man, like they triple checking their coins. Everything is virtual now. So I've had a couple, but not as many as I would have where you can actually physically go to the school. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still doing coaching, which is, you know, I call it coaching because sometimes therapy just has that stigma for some folk. I've been doing that. So I have my individual clients that I work with, you know, again, just trying to help them go from that idea of living to thriving. I have my show that I do Monday through Thursday on YouTube and Facebook Live. It's called Rhetorically Speaking. And you can check that out on YouTube at Quadify LLC. That's Quadefy. And you know, that's just a Monday through Thursday show, daily digital show where I just talk about current events, have conversations, I try to do a deep dive into the various things that's taking place. Like one of my biggest episodes was the entanglement issue, the entanglement episode I did about Jada and Will. And with that, I was able to merge, you know, my mental health background, my background as a therapist, and look at it from that perspective, but also bring in the comedy, bring in the seriousness, right? And just merge all of those together. Cause at one point here in Philly, I was doing daily talk radio, which I didn't think I was ever going to do, right? I didn't see that for me. But just from coming doing my podcast, hashtag you good, man, which, you know, again, you've been on and it's been, you know, I haven't dropped any episodes lately, but it just came from me doing my podcast on a weekly basis. You know what I mean? And somebody from local radio heard me and it was just like, yo, we want you to come on for a few. And so I was there for a few months. I really enjoyed doing Rhetorically Speaking because you get first I'm one who, I fashion myself a critical thinker where, you know, I hate the surfacey stuff, right? I like to go beyond the pale. And I know you do the same, right? It's more, and that's just the therapist in us, you know, where is, you know, when we see what's happening with Votto and Tahiri, it's just like, nah, it's bigger than that. Like it goes deeper, right? And so I just like enjoying having those conversations, man. And then try to sell this merch and, you know, anything to get the bills paid during this time, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I've been up to for the most part. How you been?
Man, I've been good. I was, you know, I held a essential position, so I was going to work every day, you know, and I hate to say the term essential worker because I'm not essential. The position is essential. So,
yeah,
I like to keep it real. Like, you know, like, let's just keep it called what it is. You know what I'm saying? So, but I mean, you know, I mean, but that's me being like, what we call that term. What's that term called? I can't think of the term. You know, you kind of like, you know, like being dark, you know, just kind of, you know. But,
yeah, you know, it's kind of early. We got to let the people know. It's kind of early.
Yeah, it's kind of early.
Yeah.
But anyway, but, you know, but, yeah, so I was doing that. I actually found a new position at a kind of outpatient hospital clinic. So I'll start that pretty soon.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yeah, thanks. I've had a couple speaking engagements, you know. Things being virtual makes it easier to kind of connect with people. So I've had a couple, you know, that I did from the comforts of my own home, you know, like that was
kind of fun. Yeah.
You know, just trying to build, you know, just keep building, just really trying to stay sane, trying to stay healthy, trying to, you know, just really try not to get involved in too much of the back and forth. I live in a pretty like interesting area in the country. Like Oregon's kind of, it's weird because like it's, you know, because it's like white liberals, black conservatives, sometimes like it's the end, they kind of meet in the middle and they be like beefing about stuff and it's like, this is kind of odd. And then you got like super like conspiracy theory people, like just kind of just, that's like, I had to unfollow some people, like y'all like so for instance, I know you mentioned this on your show, the doctor video.
Yeah.
People took that and ran with it. And it was across all, like, racial, like it didn't matter who it was. Like, I had cousins sharing it. I had coworkers sharing it. I was like, come on. Like, y'all can't. Like, I know we tired of being in the house and, you know, and media does suck. Media, you can't tell what's true or not. Everybody's, like, opinionated. But it's like, sometimes it's like, you gotta do a little better job of dissecting what's like, what's for fact and what's like just kind of like, what's like pushing an agenda, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm just, you know, just really trying to just keep building this content up and, you know, just, that's pretty much it. Same grind, different time.
No doubt.
You know? But yeah, so how, but like, I know you, like you said, you had mentioned, like, you still see people, like, you know, for coaching. How's that like, reflected in this time?
You know what, man, it's what I've been getting is a lot of, it's funny, it's been most like, I like my clientele now is a lot of like white women. It's weird where they're trying to support the men in their lives, right? So I think of one in particular who I just started working with this week, and she was, you know, she's a white woman, but her son is biracial. He identifies as black, and you know, he's in the midst of like a deep depression right now, and she's trying to figure out how to support him. So she came across my TED talk that I did on Black Mental Health Matters, and she was like, that's what led me to reach out to you. And so I'm finding that, you know, a lot of people, you know, I don't like the term allies. I like allies on probation, right? Because I always look at, you could be one comment away, one act of being a bystander where you allow something to take place where it'll have you right back on that other side. And so I look at myself as being an ally on probation when it comes to women, when it comes to the trans community, you know, queer folk, you know, I always have to be mindful. And so what I'm seeing with these, you know, again, I've had a lot of white women recently, which again is weird, who just desire to support the men in their lives, right? Who just happen to be black men, which I think is a good thing, right? It's a good thing because that's one of the things we talk about being an ally or ally on probation, is that you have to have a desire to learn and you have to seek it out on your own. And so, yeah, that's been going well. I have my men's Zoom group every Monday, every other Monday sometimes. I know it's been a lot of brothers who just need that outlet, man, because they are essential workers, right? Because we know a lot of, you know, of the working class black folk are deemed essential. And so, you know, just they're trying to navigate that, and they're trying to navigate the the unrest that's taking place, you know, with George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor, and even before all of that, right? It's something we still have been dealing with. It's just the world is on notice now. You know what I mean? So, I mean, all in all, again, it's what we do, right? It's what we do. I always think, like, why do I do this? And it's just like, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown, man. Like, I asked for this. And so this is what comes with it. You know, I just got to make sure I take care of myself in the process.
Yeah, facts. So in your group now, it's virtual now, right?
Yeah.
How many people can join it? Because I was doing a talk yesterday, and it was asked for resources, for Black people to go and like kind of get support. And I mentioned your group, but I was hesitant because I was like, oh, I don't know if it's like a cap, and I don't want to have people from Oregon trying to invade space. If it's like, you know what I'm saying? If it's meant to be local. So.
Yeah, no. It's for any and everybody, man. It's no limit. It's no cap, right? No pun intended. Not like the young folk use it, mm-hmm. but it's no limit to the brothers. All they got to do is I post it on my socials, Phil_Roundtree, and you know I put the login information on there and just hop on in. You know what I mean? And again, it's open for everybody.
All right, cool. Well, I'll reshare that with the person that reach out to me so they can know that it's something you can do from the comfort of your home. If you got the time, go ahead and log on in.
Yeah.
You know, so, but before we get to what we want to talk about, I kind of wanted to just, so how did you get the idea to come up with the Daily Show?
Again, you know, I was doing a daily radio show here in Philly. It's on a popular Black owned radio station, WURD. It's talk radio. And so, you know, they're talking about current events, and I had hit them up last year. I was on somebody's show as a mental health expert. They was like, oh, you're really good at this. And so I was like, oh, all right, thanks. And then they said it again. So I was like, shoot, let me send the email to the program director. What's the worst thing they could do? Say no. Yeah. And I didn't hear from her. And so, you know, a homie of mine, he started doing some freelance videography work for the radio station. And he knew the program director from prior interaction. They were cool. And so he just texted her, yo, my homie Phil emailed you. And she was like, oh, okay. And so she checked it out. She checked out my podcast and some of my content that I promote. And they were in the midst of a change at the station, you know, some time slots and what have you. So, you know, they had me guest host a few times and the response was good from the people. And so they had me on for about 2 to 3 months. But again, as all, you know, when it's not yours and somebody else wants to go a different direction, they can be like, oh, you know, your time is up. You know what I mean? And so, cause again, they, you know, the idea that it was getting extremely political and they would just want to have as much political content as possible. And so my content was more, I would have my hashtag You Good Man Mondays, which I would have brothers, you know, just like I do with the group, I have brothers on, we just have conversation, right? About things that impact, you know, men in society. The other days, you know, I had theme days, but they really wanted to go like hard hitting politics. And not that I couldn't do it. It was just a matter of, you know, again, they had somebody else in mind. And when you don't control, you know, the content and it's not yours, then you're at the whim of others. So, but what it showed me was I could host a 3-hour show, you know what I mean? Monday through Thursday. So once that was done, I'm like, yo, I'm a do my own thing. And you know, one of my homies is, Mark Lamont Hill, you know, who's on BET, The Griot and all of that. You know, I told him, like, yo, I think about doing my own show. He was like, yo, do it. You know what I mean? He was like, he brought up, you know, he started showing me different people like who have their own show and their following and how they built it up and whatnot. So I was just like, yo, I'm just going to do it. You know, so I've been doing that now since probably about as soon as I think when quarantine started, like the end of March, early April. And it's been consistent, you know, every week. And it's only an hour, you know, 3 hours of radio. Even that check was good, but it was still exhausting. You know what I mean? Yeah. So with this hour, you know, I get the chance to get in and get out and still have still have my day or my evening rather, because it comes in at night. But again, I just enjoy talking, man. Like, I know you see me on socials. I be, you know, yeah, they call me controversial. You know what I mean? Because I just post what I'm thinking. But it's more than just what I'm thinking, because it's well thought out, you know, whether people agree with me or not. You know, my whole goal is to get people to think, you know, because I think we, you know, they say black folk not monoliths, right? And I agree with that. But somehow our way of thinking in different areas is monolithic. We only think of it from one perspective. And so it's important for me to, you know, since I do have this talent of engaging people and forcing people to think, you know what I mean? That's what I got to do. You know, for like, you know, a quick example was, and now her name escapes me. Hold on, because I'll give me 1 second. Ariel Powers, right? She played for the Washington Mystics. Yeah. You know, and it was the conversation, like, you know, with her and Andre Iguodala about he called her by her number, giving her a compliment. And she like, yo, either call me by my name or don't compliment me at all. You know, and it was so many people upset with her, like she did something wrong. And so when we do a deep dive into that, we see that that's steeped in misogyny. We see that that's the reason why we are saying say Breonna Taylor's name, right? It's not necessarily because she was murdered. We know, but definitely know she was murdered. But it's more so like black women often are an afterthought, right, when it comes to different things. And then when he told, you know, he tweeted back, no manners. This is like, why should women have to have manners? Like, yeah, she didn't ask you for the compliment. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, again, it's sparking that dialogue to get folk to truly start thinking, man. Like, where do we learn this stuff? Like, I teach my daughter all the time, you're not obligated to give no man no thank you or nothing. Right? Even with me, if I give her a compliment, right, it's up to her if she wants to receive it and acknowledge it. You know, and so again, it's about unlearning a lot of the things that, especially as black men, that we've been taught about how we should be operating throughout this world.
That's real. Yeah, I remember you had posted something, and Mark Lamont Hill, he was in your comments, and he was kind of pressing you about it. I was like, okay.
Oh yeah.
This was a month ago and I was like, okay, this is cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I do appreciate your commentary on a lot of things, because you question like a lot of like black men's like traditional, well, I don't want to say traditional, but you know, like our like common thoughts, you know, about like, you know, sexuality and, you know, being an ally for, like, you know, like you said, the queer community and like masculinity and things like that. Like, you question a lot of like, are like, well, you know, like just kind of like stuff, like stuff to make you think, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you definitely have time because I'll be seeing you in the comments going hard. It's like, damn, I ain't got that kind of, I don't know. I wish I had that, but I don't have that, you know?
Yeah, well, because I'm supposed to be, you know, I'm supposed to be a writer. Like, I'm writing this memoir, you know, this book about my life, which is steeped in like black men's mental health. And like, I haven't been, like, today is supposed to be the first, you know, we always say, I'm gonna wait till the first.
No,
you know what I mean? I'm gonna wait till the first to get it back going. So I got like almost 40,000 words, you know, and it's just like, I don't write in there. So like, I gotta write. Like, that's been one of my outlets, you know what I mean? And something that I enjoy doing is the writing aspect. So I might not do it on my in my book, but I do it on social medias. I know I ran into Sonia Sanchez like right before the quarantine, right? And so I ran up to her like a groupie. Like, for y'all, you know, if y'all know who Sonia Sanchez, y'all gotta Google her, you know what I mean, and see how dope she is. I was like, you know, what do you do when you just don't feel like writing, man? She was just like, yo, you know, she's like, write anything. You know what I mean? Write anything. And so when I do be going, you see me going on there, it's me taking that to heart. Like, write about what I see. Write about what I'm feeling. You know what I mean? Even if it's not related to what you're supposed to be writing, just write, man, because it's that act. You know, it's that daily habit. So if I show myself enough grace, even though the last time I wrote in my book, it was about to be a month, 3 weeks ago. You know what I mean? I've been writing every day, even if it's these posts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of challenging our thoughts. And
yeah.
It's like stuff that we was kind of conditioned to think. It's like, well, you can unlearn some of those things, you know, or just even think about, like, does that make any, does that still make sense to you, you know? So,
yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, I was, like I said, I want to really talk to you about something, on the regards of like, males and body image, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, recently there's been, like, you know, movements kind of like, you know, supporting, like, you know, body positive in males. Like we see that a lot with females, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of women, you know, like, you know, and there's a lot of books, you know what I'm saying, that are like, you know, that are about that, you know, the said topic. But, you know, last year I Googled, you know, like, books for, like, males, you know, and, like, you know, just kind of being like, you know, in, like, self-image. And it wasn't a lot. Besides, like, you know, like, getting fit and working out and taking testosterone pills and that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, you know, like, I feel like there's only one way for us, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, to be body positive, and that's, like, to, if you're a bigger person, you got to get small. And that's, like, the only solution. And if you're fat, and if I talk about you being fat, you got to take it because, you know, like, because I'm trying to help you, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like in regards of, like, you know what I'm saying, like, a rich person can tell a poor person how to think, you know what I'm saying, or how to feel, how to spend their money, you know, how educated person, like, you know, like I said, with quotes, you know, can tell an uneducated person how to think and what to think, you know what I'm saying? I feel like the same way, like, you know, like a skinny person that, you know, that presents as healthy, you know, can tell a person who doesn't present as healthy how they should be healthy, you know. So this stuff is kind of, I'll be thinking about, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
like, it's a slippery slope, man. It's a slippery slope when we start, because, you know, we got, again, these taboo things that we can't really discuss out in the world, especially, you know, amongst Black folk, you know what I mean? And so, you know, whether it's mental health, whether it's sexuality, whether it's body image, it's, you know, especially for men, that's one of those things where, or weight, right, or body composition is one of those things. If you're going to get into it and have that conversation, then you better make sure you dot all your T's and cross all your I's, right? And I got it backwards, but I meant to say it that way, right? But yeah, you listen, man, because they will come at you. I had an incident probably a few months ago where I commented on Lizzo. Right. And from my perspective, it wasn't body shaming at all. You know, it was, you know, I spoke out about, you know, this concern, right? A concern that exists when it comes to Black folk and, you know, being quote unquote overweight. And so I don't remember the whole post, but people read it differently. Some people read it and understood exactly what I was saying. It wasn't to demean her in any way. But it was to say, listen, man, this is real. You know what I mean? Like, our weight is real. We're in, you know, majority of us, we're an obese people, right? And so, again, especially when we talk about women and Black women, you know, talking about their weight coming from a Black man, that's just, it's no way around it, right? You better be the doctor of the century, right? If you're going to have that conversation, and you got to be as nuanced and be as specific as possible, because it can be read or misinterpreted, right? And when it comes to reading something, that's not incumbent upon the reader to understand what you meant. You have to spell it out. You have to spell it out. You know what I'm saying? So but I'm, you know, part of the Lizzo hive was on my neck, man. So.
Yeah, you know, and do you think there is ways that, like, you can, like, get those messages off without, like, coming or without seeming, you know, just coming off, you know, like, shaming her or something like that?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a way. I thought that's, you know, the way that I was doing, where, again, we're talking. See, I think the issue is the fact that because we know America hates fat people, right? America hates fat people. America hates overweight people, obese people. They hate those people, and they show it every way possible, right? Whether it's the imagery that we see on television, the weight loss products that get pushed down our throats, you know, the the unhealthy meals that they promote. But again, in turn, they turn around and hate us. But again, it's definitely a way to have this conversation. And so a lot of people, like, you get on a defensive, like, white folk can't talk about. Yeah, it's akin to the black on black crime situation, right? Like, we know it's real. But white person, you best not say nothing about it. You know what I mean? Because you don't get that privilege to say anything about it. And that's how it goes with, you know, with this conversation with regards to weight. But I mean, we look at the number one killer amongst black folk, black men and women, is heart disease, right? Which stems from a myriad of things. We talk about stress, we talk about overeating, right? High blood pressure, we talk about diabetes and how so many of us are afflicted with it. Like, people who don't know my story, like, I was 300 pounds, well, 292 pounds at 16, 17 years of age. And I was pre-diabetic. You know, walking across the street, I remember being called a cow by some brother. You know what I mean? Hurry across the street, cow. And it's just like, yo, that impacts you, right? And nah, you don't necessarily want to hear about it because you are already harder on yourself than anybody could ever be on you, right? And so when you hear this coming from the outside world, it's just like, no, y'all don't understand what it took for us to get here, but unfortunately, or how we ended up here. But unfortunately, we still got to keep it real, right? So if I say, listen, I could love Lizzo music or what have you, but yo, we want you to be around, Lizzo. You know what I mean? We want you to be around. This is not saying like you're an awful person or your body isn't beautiful or anything like that. But when we talk about the longevity, right, of when we talk about lifespan, we have to delve into that area. You know, I have a master's in exercise science, right? As well as my master's in social, I'm in debt a whole lot. And so again, you know, that was a part of the work that I had to do in order to get this degree, right? I had to understand the body. I had to do research on, you know, the biggest influencers of body composition amongst diverse populations. And so, but people don't know that when you post it on social media. You know what I mean? People not really, all they see is the comment. They don't, and they can't really judge your concern because again, you got people in the comments calling her a fat cow, right? And saying all of these different things about overweight people. But again, it's definitely a way to have the conversation. You gotta show grace. You have to have empathy. Just like you would have in any other situation. You know what I mean? When we're talking about something that could potentially negatively impact the wellness of somebody else, you know, you don't want to just come and say, yo, you need to lose weight. Just like, nah, how can we have this conversation? When I was doing, personal training, like within a gym, you know, I had my own clientele, I would be doing therapy sessions, man. And, you know, in the midst of training people, now I do it virtually, right? And I have a holistic approach to it. But man, like you know, you get an understanding of how somebody ended up being this way because they start to cope with by eating, right? And or a lack of inactivity is something so many of us are experiencing now due to this coronavirus, man. But yeah, it's definitely a way to have a conversation. You just got to be willing to have it in a way that's edifying and uplifting instead of derogatory like we see so often.
Yeah. And I remember you scrolling, me scrolling through your Instagram page and seeing you became a bodybuilder eventually.
Yeah.
Now, was that like a reactivity to the, you know, being called like a fat cow when you were 16?
It could be. It definitely could be. We see it a lot, you know, amongst the bodybuilder community. So I was I still am a pro natural bodybuilder. That means I can compete for cash prizes in natural bodybuilder competitions. I don't take steroids or anything like that, even though I got homies who do, you know what I'm saying? And they're still dope people regardless. I started to lean, you know, me living with depression, anxiety, and being overweight. I wanted to fit in, and you feel like you're an outcast when you're the bigger person. This was after Big, right? Like even after Biggie, it was still like, I couldn't wear all the flyest clothes. Like back in our day, it was Guess jeans and polo shirts over here in Philly. You know what I mean? And so I couldn't wear Guess jeans. I had like a 48 inch to 50 waist. And so that was why I wanted to lose weight. I bought a pair of Guess jeans and I kept them for like 3 months until I started, you know, I started running. Then I started doing a little bit of lifting. I got this, the Metrix protein shakes, and it had a little workout. So I got a bench and I started doing it in my house, and I started losing the weight. And so once I started that and I started seeing the results, man, it is addicting. And, you know, the euphoria that comes from it and the compliments that people give you based on your physique. And so I took that with me. I always loved to play basketball. So I really, you know, would, you know, average 28. I tell people I averaged 28 in intramurals in college, you know what I mean? But basketball was my thing, but I still lifted weights. And I remember once I graduated, I started working out with this old head, Clarence McGill. If you Google Clarence McGill, man, he's now at like 51, something like that. Mm-hmm. But again, amazing shape, bodybuilder, pro natural bodybuilder. And he was like, Phil, you're not going to be able to do both, play basketball and lift. And I was like, you know what? I started to find myself enjoying the challenge of lifting weights. And I liked the results that I was seeing. And he's like, you might as well do a show. And, you know, I trained for a show. I didn't end up doing that first one, but then I did one that October instead of in May, Charm City Classic here in Baltimore. And I made it to the finals for the amateurs. And it was like, yo, I enjoyed it, you know, and I kept doing it. I liked the sacrifice that it took, the discipline that came from it, right? Being strategic about my meals and about how I lifted and resting and all of those things. And so after about, you know, four or five years, I ended up getting my natural pro card, which, you know, was a great feeling. And then it went away. You know what I mean? It was like, all right, I achieved this. So now what? But yeah, I think a part of it is this idea. Part of the reason why I did it, I'm sure, came from this idea of modern masculinity and what that looks like, man. It's all about, for men, it's about having virility, right? And being strong. And, you know, you see the people on television, the men that they show, and we think that it doesn't impact us, but it does. I was a big wrestling fan, right? And, you know, you would see the Razor Ramones and the Lex Lugers and the Ultimate Warriors. And even though I wasn't like, oh, I gotta get big like him, like that imagery sticks with you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, you know, when you got the opportunity and you always, you know, we're taught to be in competition with other men. And so that runs deep. And so with that, it's just like, well, first question, yo, how much can you bench? Right? Like that's always the question in the gym. How much can you bench? You know, how much can you squat? How much can you do X, Y, and Z? And so it's this competition thing that exists that stems from masculinity. It's something called, you know, muscle dysmorphia, or we call it bigorexia, right? And so it's this idea where your body is always small. You're never big enough. And I think so many of us men out here who do lift weights, we're taught to see imperfections in our body. So yeah. I get into the mirror and I, you know, have a six pack and it's just like, well, my muscles can be bigger, right? I can be bigger. I got to get bigger. You get on stage and you're being judged by people. Oh, somebody else has bigger quads than you. So they have bigger lats than you, shoulders, biceps. And again, it's this quest to get bigger, quest to get stronger, quest to get faster. And that's when you start to see, especially young people who start to, you know, use steroids, who start to use testosterone. Because it's this idea that to be a manly man, you got to be big, right? It wasn't no dad bod where that became the norm. It was just like, no, you have to, you know, have muscle, right? In order to get this, to get respect from peers and for women to, or men to, or persons to find you attractive. So for, yeah, I'm sure a part of that was a response to, you know, to my childhood growing up as being obese for as long as I was.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I know when it comes to, like, health, I know, like, the only thing, like, a lot of men focus on is, like how you look. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look good, you're healthy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't present, you know what I'm saying? I'm overweight, you know what I'm saying? Probably by, like, 30 pounds, but you know what I'm saying? But I went to the doctor, and my blood pressure was 113 over 72. You know what I'm saying? So, like, but there's a lot of people who don't see that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, if I look good, then I must be healthy. But it's like, you know, like, especially the older you get, you know what I'm saying? Like, we know that's not to be true. We see a lot of people that look physically fit and they fall out and die.
Yeah. And we see that in the bodybuilding world, man. There's been so many bodybuilders who've died on stage because they didn't do a healthy protocol. Like, for my first, literally, like, my first, like, 5 or 6 shows, you know, I would win the heavyweight division. That would be like, that's like 190 and over, right? I would win it, and I would always lose in the overall. So what that is, it's like, you know, we think about weight classes in boxing or UFC. It's like lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight, super heavyweight, and I'll always lose to somebody smaller. And so I would always, you know, my calorie count, it would be super low, right? I would do chicken breasts. I would do vegetables, chicken breasts, vegetables, egg whites, vegetables. Wasn't eating any carbs. Was taking in like 1,000 calories. And, you know, your body responds to these things, right? Like, that's the thing I try to implore upon people. Like, they think, oh, you eat a lot and that's why you're gaining weight. No, if you're not eating enough, you'll gain weight because your body goes into starvation mode and starts retaining every calorie that you take, right? And so I was doing that for the longest time. And then my last coach, granted, I never fell out or anything like that, but my body would always plateau at 198 pounds. I could never, no matter how much cardio I did, how much lifting, how little I ate. And, you know, I started working with this coach, Alberto Nunez, and, you know, dope guy, dope story. And at this point, I was already in the program doing what I was doing because, again, I'm a learner, right? And so I need to understand the scientific method behind everything. And so, you know, the type of diet I was doing is what people call the bro diet, right? Chicken vegetables, because it's called bro science, where it's not built upon anything but word of mouth, right? Yeah. Word of mouth through the gym. Yo, you need to eat like this. You need to eat 6 small meals a day. No, you don't. You can eat 1 big meal a day if you want. But the thing is, it's about calories in versus calories out, as simplistic as it is. And so me working with him, right, we started calculating, you know, the calories that I was doing. We started, you know, like, really honing in on how much protein, how much fat, how much carbs, how much cardio I was doing. And he was like, Phil, I know you get this, like, you understand it. And it was like, that was validation for me that I knew what I was doing. And I still had more balance in my life. That's the thing about bodybuilding. So often, like, our lives are spent in the gym because we think we got to lift for 3 hours to get these muscles. And I was having workouts that were 45, 50 minutes long. And I was able to go out and eat at restaurants with my family and, you know, spend time with my daughter. I didn't have to go to the gym twice a day like I was doing. And I ended up winning. But the biggest compliment that came from me is when I was coaching my homie Tim, white guy, coolest white guy in the world. And he wanted me to, you know, to prep him for a show. And, you know, he got like, I think he got like 4th place in his class because, you know, it was a lot of like monsters, like people you could see like what we call striations in their glutes, right? Like you could see the lines in their glutes. And he was down to that point. But his mom came up to me and said, and this was in New York, she came up to me and said, this is the healthiest he's ever been, right? Because he was doing it the same way I was doing it. And then you get this information and this knowledge like, yo, you don't have to do this way. Right. And again, the more information we have, knowledge we have when it comes to our health and wellness, in this case, you know, body composition and our physical wellness, the better off we'll be. It's just, unfortunately, there's so many people out here with misinformation. Right. And, you know, you got Herbalifes and you got all of these different things out here preaching people the unhealthy way to go about, you know, making changes to their body. So,
Yeah. Okay. Like, why do you think, like, as far as like, you know, like in males, like there's like a lack of like, you know, there's a lack of the body positive movement.
Because again, I think it all stems, you know, to this idea of what masculinity is, right? I hate the term toxic masculinity. I always use the term, you know, unhealthy person, because, you know, women can have toxic masculine traits, right? Our non-binary folk have toxic masculine traits, but at the end of the day, we're talking about what makes an unhealthy person. Right. And so, again, we adopt this mindset of how men are supposed to be. They're not supposed to be emotional. They're not supposed to express themselves verbally unless it's with aggression, the virility aspect. And so when it comes to our bodies, no, that's something that women do. Right. That's, you know, this something that impacts women. And we know that it impacts women for sure. Right. Anorexia, bulimia. But we're impacted by that, too. And it's a silent killer for so many of us. You know, we see it. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I experienced a little bit of it, you know, during this quarantine. Like, I was so used to going to the gym, and now it's like the gym is closed. And it's just like, well, what's going to happen to my muscles? They're going to deflate. You know what I mean? And it was just like, and again, this is something I deal with, you know, actively. This idea of low self-esteem, and that comes from depression, anxiety, and being obese when I was younger. So I still look in the mirror literally on a daily basis and be like, oh, I got to lose weight. I got to lose weight. And so this is something that I'm actively dealing with. You know what I mean? And so, you know, it's like, but I had to remind myself, oh, you know, yeah, you might lose some strength. Yeah, you might lose some size, right? But at what cost? Like, you're healthy, you know, so you can be healthy. Like, that's the name of the game. Like, I try to remind myself, like, yo, the reason why I lift weights, the main reason is for my health, right? Because we know that muscle starts to deteriorate as you get older. And the way to preserve muscle, right? So when you get older, you're not having these physiological issues is by strength training, right? That's why we call it functional movement, where you might see older people in the gym, they're doing your regular movements, like picking up a box, right? Or picking up, doing different things, because again, you want to still be able to function when you get into when you get into your older age and become elderly. And you know, the goal is to preserve muscle. Like, exercise and strength training is the elixir. But again, we don't talk about this. We only talk about one aspect of it, which is how can we be better, as opposed to how is my quest to be better negatively impacting how I see myself and how I see others.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I feel like, you know, like, there's ways that we can, like, be better of, like, trying to influence or, like, you know, motivate, like, a, you know, like, a positive, healthy lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know when The Biggest Loser came out, and homegirl's name, Jillian Michaels,
yeah,
like, her approach was, like, very tough and very, like, direct. And it worked for some, but doesn't work for others, you know? So, like, so I feel like, you know, there's sometimes, you know, like, you know, like, I remember when I was my early 20s, I think I got to, like, almost 300 pounds, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But this was, like, 300 pounds, like not, like, because I didn't work out until, like, I was, like, 20, you know what I'm saying? So, like, when I was in high school, I was bigger, but I was, like, 215, maybe. But compared to all my friends, I was big, you know. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I probably wasn't that big, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, there was just, like, I feel like I got shamed for so many years, but I didn't really start working out until, like, I felt like I had somebody who could support me. You know, like, I had a friend that was a big buff dude who was, like, a football player.
Okay.
And I just asked him, I said, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, can you, like, help me out to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, get my life together, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, he helped me out. And then, you know, then I had another friend who helped me with the diet. You know, had another friend that kind of told me, like, you know, like, right now you're overwhelmed, you know what I'm saying? Because you're trying to, like, lose all this weight. But you're in a spot to where you don't have to go to the gym and, like, get buff. You can go on a walk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can walk and, you know, you can walk 40 minutes a day. And, you know, and and probably will lose the same amount of weight if you went to the gym and lifted a whole bunch of weights, you know. And I feel like those kind of approaches need to kind of be, like, more normalized than, like, Julian Michaels' approach.
Who's like, yeah. you yeah, know? Yeah, yeah. And that's why she got so many pushback, because the people who would leave the Biggest Loser, you know, and that's the issue that I would have with, like, you know, programs like Herbalife, even though Herbalife is strictly supplements, that's all you're selling, right? But what you're selling is this idea that I can lose a whole bunch of weight in a short amount of time. And so that's why you see so many people from the Biggest Loser, they gain that weight right back because they don't learn how to sustain it. We see so many fad diets that exist. You know, you had the Atkins diet where it's, you know, high protein, low carbs, low fat, and different things, and people don't know how to live after the diet. You know what I mean? It's just like they can lose the weight, and a lot of times that's what the issue is. They know how to lose the weight, but it comes right back on. And we saw that with the Biggest Loser. And so yeah, you do want to encourage people to lose weight in a healthy way that works for them. You know, on my show, Rhetorically Speaking, I had a athletic trainer, Chris Gilbert, on my show. And this was like in the middle of the pandemic, where people are itching to get to the gym. People are itching to just be active. And what he said was, listen, man, it's about, you know, bringing your heart rate up. That's really what it is, you know, and monitoring what you're eating. So it might be, you know, walking 10 minutes a day. Right. And just starting walking 10 minutes a day, and you start to increase that. You want everything that you do with regards to, you know, weight loss in particular, to be progressive. You don't want to come out here and just start running a 20 mile run. Right. And yeah. You've just been on the couch. That's why they got apps like Couch to 5K, and it's mm-hmm. all progressive, and it helps you build up your endurance. But it's necessary, and it's in particularly necessary because of, you know, what we're going through now with this pandemic and coronavirus. Like, so often we hear, you go on CNN or you go on different outlets, and you hear about, okay, the people that die, we're in the hundreds of thousands of people that die, or you hear somebody got well, right? They recovered, the asymptomatic people. But what's not talked about is the people who have lung damage from the coronavirus, right? And it could be long-term lung damage, even in asymptomatic people. I, you know, in preparation for one of my shows where I talked about it, I talked about how asymptomatic people in their MRIs was showing that they had lung damage, right? So you're not coughing, you're not, you don't have a fever, but your lungs are 30% less capacity, right? Might not seem like nothing, but when you're walking up, you know, a flight of steps and you're getting winded, that's a result of that, right? And so how do we combat that? We combat that by strengthening our lungs. So that is taking those walks, right? And taking those runs. It is by lifting weights and doing those things to help lower our blood pressure and help out those various aspects of building up our lung capacity. Because again, we're talking about survival at this point.
Mm-hmm. For real. And not just, and so many people are focused on, like, you know, the mortality rate, because it's, well, from what people say, it's lower than the flu, but still, there's still, like you said, there's long lasting effects from things like that, you know. But yeah, so I just wanted to come in here, chop it up with you about these things. I feel like, you know, a healthy lifestyle is important, but you know, but we gotta, like my goal is like an overall healthy lifestyle. Like, I know when I was in college and I got, like, you know, back down to like 205 pounds, I was sick because I was, like, depressed. So it really didn't. So, like, I was chasing, like, this image that I thought would make me, like, happy, but it didn't. Like, I still kind of had, like, the same kind of struggles that I had when I was 270, you know, except for I can run a mile now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But so now, like, I feel like my, like, you know, I'm not old enough. So I feel like while I'm, like, still, like, young enough to move and do things, like, you know, my goal is, like, to kind of, like, be a person that has, like, a balanced mental, a balanced diet, a balanced physical. You know what I'm saying? That's how my goal. I'm going to get there one day, slowly but surely. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to talk about you, about, you know, about, it's kind of about, you know, body image and things like that, because you know, in our journey, we can't get shamed to getting worse. You know?
Exactly.
And like, you know, like, and I want to make people aware of that, like how you come across, how people might come across, like you might think it's like, well, you know, this person, like, they're in trouble. You know, like I feel like my approach needs to be hard because they need to get it. It's like that, it doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? People still need compassion and empathy. And like you said before, like, you know, like there's a mental health thing, you know what I'm saying, that could be linked, you know what I'm saying, why I eat, you know what I'm saying, a tub of ice cream every day, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, we got to kind of be mindful of those things. And if you want to help people, we got to understand their journey, and then we can understand how to help them.
Yeah. No, that's real, because, again, man, everything is interrelated. And that's why, you know, I created Quantify, because, I do have this diverse background, you know, as a therapist, as a, you know, as a certified strength and conditioning coach with, you know, master's degrees in both. And then we talk about the spiritual wellness aspect of it, which impacts all of us. Like, it is that idea that in order to thrive in life, they all need to be working at optimal levels. And if there's a deficit in one, then there's usually a deficit in another, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, somebody who has physical body image issues, they're definitely dealing with self-esteem issues. Those are directly correlated, right? And so, you know, which can impact, you know, how we view our role in the world, which is more of a spiritual outlook to, you know, to how we live. And so, yeah, man, they're all interrelated, and it's important that we seek out the services necessary, whether it's coaching from me, whether it's going to see a therapist, whether it's journaling and documenting, right? You know, I got a brother, and I'm gonna say it's off topic because it still deals with how we're showing up. But it was a brother who, you know, he would smoke weed like every day, literally, you know what I mean? And so he, you know, he would eat a whole lot with it. And he came into the group one day, this back when I was having the group in a physical location. And I was just like, yo, before you smoke or before you eat an edible, right, write down what it is that you're feeling, what it is that you're experiencing right in that moment. You know what I mean? And try to understand why. And once he did that, he saw a decrease in his usage, right? And that's because he realized that that's what he would do when he would be stressed out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether that's, you know, drinking, which is something I deal with, whether it's eating, something that I used to deal with, when we start to document it, we recognize, yo, when I feel this, and when X happens, then Y tends to happen at some point. And so what can I do to, you know, to what Z do I need to happen in order to help X instead of this Y? You know what I mean? So instead of eating, it might be, you know, I might go for a walk. Yeah. Or it might be, I might, you know, choose a healthier option. It might be, I might call somebody instead of automatically going to this deep end, you know what I mean? Which can be unhealthy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, brother, I appreciate you for joining me this morning.
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. Man, go ahead and plug everything you got going on, man. There's so much things. Go ahead and plug it, brother. Go ahead.
So we got the coach and the therapy, you know, started to get, you know, booked again. So, you know, reach out to me. I'm on Psychology Today, Philip Roundtree, or use my website, quantifyllc.net. You get a free 15-minute consultation on there. You could also cop, you know, some destigmatizing merch, like this is what anxiety, this is what depression looks like, Black Mental Health Matters. I'm always trying to think about new concepts for the merchandise. You can check out Rhetorically Speaking Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. You can check it out on YouTube at Quantify LLC. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. You got the men's group. That's every Monday. You can catch that on my social, though, where I post that. So that's Phil_Roundtree. Every month, if you're a man who's listening, I have a book club. Like, we're having one of the book clubs that come out tonight. Y'all will hear this at a later date. But we're having a book club tonight and discussing $40 Million Slave by William Roden. So we got that going. Just, again, man, just different things to to keep myself busy, to keep a roof over my head, and continue to push this this conversation, just like you do, with regards to mental health and how important it is, and how it impacts every area of our life, whether we acknowledge it or not.
Sir, yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you, brother. Yeah, y'all know what it is. Peace.
All right, peace, Chris.